So please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 12. If you put those scriptures up there, John 12, Luke 19, Mark 11, Matthew 21. I wanted to read them all, actually, but it takes quite a bit of time, so I'll stay with John because I just like how he explains it. The other guys, each one has a little different emphasis, as you can see, you know, oh, it's not on there, but to the general John, to the Greek, and representing Jesus as a man, that's Luke, and to the Roman crowd, that's Mark, Jesus as a servant, and to Matthew speaking to a Jewish crowd, and he's presenting Jesus as a king. And so they each emphasize a little different of the story, but the story is one. And this morning I'm going to start in John 12, but actually I'm going to right from the first verse, because it's starting on Saturday night with this amazing banquet, and then it goes into the triumphal entry into Jerusalem in the same chapter. And it just, what I'm going to end up doing this morning, God willing, is there's just so many characters involved in this story, and that's why I called it Hearts Are Revealed. They missed Jesus, they didn't understand him, there's all these things going on. And so as we read the story, I pray that from God's word, something will touch your heart and encourage you today in your walk with Jesus, to understand who he is, to know him, to follow him, whatever. Our sign outside on the street is announcing Easter, and come experience new life. And that's our prayer this morning for every one of us, and especially if you're here today and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that by the time we end the service, that you have been touched by God's Spirit and your heart would be open to experience new life in Jesus, as we all have. And that's our prayer over this Sunday, or over this week of Easter. So let's read. I'm reading in the NIV, so if you don't have it, you want to just follow, that's fine. Just listen. Chapter 12 of John, verse 1, says this. 6 days before the Passover, so it's Saturday night, Jesus arrived at Bethany. It's about 2 miles just outside of Jerusalem. I've been there a few times, and he's staying with his friends, and they're having a banquet for him where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Now that's a sermon right there, right? We just read those, whom Jesus has raised from the dead. That's going to be a party. Think about it. I don't even want to name somebody, but if he had just been raised from the dead and he's sitting here today, I think we'd be shaking those palm trees pretty good. Amen? So that's what's going on. I'm not even going back in what all the things that Jesus did. John said if we wrote down what Jesus did, the world couldn't hold the books that should be written. But this was written so that you could know he's the Christ. Amen? You know your Gospel of John, right? I'm trusting you. Otherwise, I got to go back to chapter 1 and we'll read the whole book. Is that okay? Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served with Lazarus, was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and poured it on his feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, I'm going to touch on this loser, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. He said, why wasn't this perfume sold and money given to the poor? There's this self-righteous, anyhow, that's a sermon for another day. Why wasn't it sold and given to the poor? What are we doing for the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief as keeper of the money bag. He used to help himself to what was put into it. Yeah, I love self-righteous, holier than thou. And then you look through the crack in the window and follow them to their house, and it's like, okay. As I said, that's a sermon for another day. I won't go there. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans. Here's the religious people in the story. I'm gonna come back to all these guys. Let's kill him. And they got to kill Lazarus too. It makes sense to me. The guy sitting there at a banquet who'd just been raised from the dead, let's kill him. That works. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus. It's so sick. I don't know what you think when you read your Bible, but you just how can people be like this? But we know there's people like that today. For on account of him, Lazarus' testimony being raised from the dead, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him. Hallelujah. What a story, huh? Now we get to the message for today. The next day, which is Sunday, the great crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna," which means save now, save now, save now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. You will see your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." And this is John's little interpretation. He always is adding. He's always putting in his understanding and explaining what was actually going on. He said, "At first, the disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him." So it wasn't like they set out to follow Zechariah 9, verse 9, which is the prophecy that was given hundreds of years before that. It was only afterwards that they saw that what they did, it's like, wow, that's what happened. The same with the cross, same with the Holy Spirit. We're all a bit thick, and I'll get to that part of the sermon too. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word, and many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Amen. May God bless the reading of his holy, infallible word. And everybody said, thank you. Thanks for the trip to Toronto. That's an inside story. We had to renew our passports for South Africa, and you got to go in person and be in Toronto. Anyhow, it's another story. So, what's going on? Saturday, there's this amazing banquet with Lazarus and Mary and the perfume, and that's a whole amazing story of Jesus and Judas, the loser, and there's enough in that one banquet to keep us busy, just trying to understand this story about Jesus. And then we come to Palm Sunday, and this entry into Jerusalem. And I got to say a couple of things up front. First of all, all of these are pictures. Is that okay? They're kind of foreshadowing. They're explaining bigger spiritual truths. They're challenging us in our faith and who Jesus is. So when they came into Jerusalem, that whole week, which we look as the Holy Week, we're celebrating this week, Good Friday and Sunday and all of that. But what was happening in Jerusalem is they were bringing in their spotless lambs for the sacrifice. Each family had to bring a lamb that had to be accepted to be slaughtered at the Passover, and they would bring it in and they would have it inspected. So in this week, in these days leading up to Passover, every family was bringing in their lamb to be slaughtered. This is the week that Jesus shows up, and he comes in. And, you know, you can read different things in commentaries. There's the Golden Gate, where kings rode in, and many believe he came in the Sheep Gate, because that's also where they would come through, the more humble, quieter gate. But the Bible doesn't necessarily say which gate. But as he comes in on his donkey, you got to see the picture of the spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world coming into Jerusalem. And that picture has to stick out in our minds. And then the other thing about it, then there's many stories here, but the other one is they didn't see Jesus clearly, or they should have. This week is about us seeing Jesus clearly, not as we expect him. They expected a king. When they were shouting, "Save now, save now, save now," a king coming on the donkey, they were getting excited. You know, he fed the thousands, and Lazarus is sitting there raised from the dead, and there's just this, and it's like, we're going to rule the world. Jesus is king. And they're waiting for this uprising and this revolt and this just overthrow of the Romans and everything. And they're just cheering. And that's not how Jesus came. And that's not why he came. And we know that now, a couple thousand years later. But they missed it. They missed the story about Jesus. So let's look at a couple of the points. First of all is the donkey. How many wants to be the donkey? What is that donkey? Well, it can mean a lot of things, and you can make up a lot of things, I guess, because the Bible doesn't necessarily say. But it was a symbol. It was a fulfillment of prophecy. But here's some thoughts. A donkey is a burden bearer. Amen? Carries the heavy loads. Little donkey, on the dusty road. My kids used to sing that in the school way back. Plodding onwards. Anyhow, just this picture of a donkey which carries burdens, and Jesus is riding on that donkey, the spotless lamb, the burden bearer. The picture has to burn into our hearts as well. On the back of a donkey, now this is for free, There's a cross. There's a natural cross in the design of a donkey's back. So you have a cross carrying Christ into the city already. Zechariah 9:9 is the fulfillment. If you go read that part of the prophecy, it's an amazing. I go read it. Zechariah 9:9. Just the verses around that, and Jesus fulfills that word. Amazingly, but not the way they expected. And a donkey is the symbol of peace and humility. It's not a war horse, and that's what Zechariah alludes to. He comes humbly, he comes with peace. And in the next couple of verses, he's talking about the war horse. Jesus comes with humility, and he comes with peace into the city of Jerusalem. He could have come, you've heard all the songs, and you've seen the stories around Easter, and we'll get there next weekend, but it's like he could have called legions of angels. He could have come into the city and just with the breath of his nostrils, dealt with everyone. And he comes in humbly, quietly, peacefully into the city. So then, what's the political story going on here? I got three or four of these. Stay with me. They were opposed to him, of course. They were doing even illegal things. We'll see throughout this week, throughout this time until the crucifixion of Jesus. They're going against their own customs, their own laws, against what made sense. Politically, it's very much the same today. I won't get onto Bill C-9 this morning, but man, when you it's out of ignorance that they rejected Christ. It's out of ignorance of what the gospel is, what the word of God is, that men and women stand opposed to this. It's out of blindness that they don't understand what our culture is even built on today, the Word of God, the Judeo-Christian faith. And you know, I hear people, I read my social medias, you can read whatever you want. You know, they're like, of course we need this hate speech sign today. Like, of course we need it the way it's written. Because, you know, you Christians, stay in your buildings. Say what you want. We don't need you spewing it out on the street. What are we spewing? The Word of God, the truth of God, sin and salvation. And when you reject that, as they rejected Jesus, it gets ugly. And to find yourself fighting against God is not a good place to be. And I feel, seriously, I feel for those who would stand against His Word, against the truth of God. I always forget his name. He was the former leader of the Conservatives for a short time, and then he was replaced. Day. What's his name? Stockwell Day. Close enough. He was on that phone call that I talked about a couple of weeks ago with about 700 political leaders, church leaders, talking about this bill. And I'm not here to tell you what to do politically. But what I listen to is a Christian politician who's in the middle of the discussions when he says, hey, you should be a little bit concerned. You should be waking up. You should be praying. I take notice of that. Because what has happened now, the law has changed to the point, we always had hate speech. We always had protections. We can't harm people. You can't do these things. That's always been there. But what's changed now is, the victim is, it's based on his feelings. I feel offended. I feel rejected. And who can argue with that? Where do you, you know, they say, you Christians, you're just getting over sensitive. No, it's, again, Stockwell Day, this is his comment. He's not some wacko. He's just saying it's the trajectory of where we're going. And you should be concerned. You should be talking. You should be praying. You should be looking into these things. And when I read this story of the Passion of Christ, and I read this story of Palm Sunday, coming in victorious, shouting, singing, but they had not a clue what it meant. Yeah. They didn't understand it. They missed it all. Can you put up that quote? I have a quote here. No, not a song. Thank you. Get the song out of there. This is C.S. Lewis. Of all the tyrannies, a tyranny sincerely exercised for the good of its victims may be the most oppressive. It would be better to live under robber barons than under omnipotent moral busybodies. The robber baron's cruelty may sometimes sleep. His cupidity, his angelness may at some point be satiated. But those who torment us for our own good will torment us without end, for they do so with the approval of their own conscience. Nothing worse than a self-righteous Judas in the middle, or a self-righteous person who, for your good, we're going to do these things. This is for your good. They will never stop. When I was in Toronto last week with my sister, she was a pastor's wife for many years, her husband passed away. But she was saying, because she's in the medical field and she was the CEO of a company and all these things and all kinds of government and policies and issues. And what she was saying is, you know, the Bible says, grow not weary in well-doing, yeah. Right? That's the Bible. Grow not weary in well-doing. Why? Because it takes work to do well. You got to choose. But this was her comment. It's amazing how the wicked seem to never grow weary in wickedness. I mean, they're relentless. And she's talking about her business world and those who are stealing money and accusing them of all kinds of things. And it's, you know, the comparison to today is those who would call us bigots and homophobic and misogynistic and whatever. And just because you would dare to say the truth about gender, about marriage, about life, when it be like, I don't want to go into all those again. But somehow they never get tired. It's just relentless, relentless, relentless. We got to change this. We got to save these people. We got to help these people. We got to open their eyes. The hate that's there, the bigotry, the lies. And I've said it so many times before, but you know one of the worst problems in Canada right now is the old white guy who's a conservative. We're the problem. We're bigots. Yeah, yeah. No, what does the Word of God say? And they missed who Jesus was so completely. It's amazing. And the thing is, we can look back 2,000 years and say, oh, wow, how did that happen? What do you think we're doing right now? And listen to me. I have Christian pastor friends. We are so on the opposite side of things. I have family members who are so on the opposite. Like, I'm just like, what are we missing? Like, one is this one, one is this. It's like, can't we even talk? Can't we, like, come to something? And that's what happened in this story. They just get two worlds, two separate worlds. There's the kingdom of God, and then there's the other kingdom. And there's no in between. There's no halfway. It's the kingdom of God or the other one. That's all the Bible talks about. Where are you? Religious people who think they're actually serving God while they crucified Christ. Dangerous people. Self-righteous. Man, you get up against self, and we all have it in us. Trust me. You know, maybe I don't, but Sorrel probably has some of it in him. They are dangerous because they actually think they're right and doing God's business. While they're crucifying Jesus, these religious guys. And again, I just come back. If I saw somebody raised from the dead, like literally dead, stinking, came out of a tomb 4 days later, I don't think I'd try to kill him again. I don't know. Maybe I would. I don't know. But you can't understand that thinking. But it's there. There's the mentality, there's a spirit, there's a, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and power and wickedness in high places. That it's just like, you listen, you think, how did the world get this way? And we know why. Let's move on. The religious people, they missed it all. And that's who I was quoting, this quote. Those who think they're right. I like, you know, years ago, I forget what I was preaching on, but just imagine, you are the religious guy who knows these scriptures. Like, you memorize this stuff. You've read Zechariah 9:9 since you were a kid. You get this stuff. All of a sudden, there's this commotion going on in Jerusalem. And you're sitting in the temple, you know, you're studying. You got to know the truths, who's the Messiah, when is he coming? You know, there's all these fulfillments, there's these things. And you hear this crazy noise going on up the street. So you send your little servant guy, what is that? And he comes back and says, it's Jesus. You know, because I didn't read all the other chapters of the Bible, some call him a prophet, he's a good man, you know, whatever, they want to kill him. There's all these accounts going on. And they come back and they say, it's Jesus of Nazareth. Some guy, and there's a crowd cheering. And the religious are like, oh, okay, well, that's nice to know. Let's get back to studying. let's try to figure this out. Who is the Messiah? And they missed him. And you say, well, what's that got to do with us? I'll get there. But God comes in ways we never expect. And he shows up not how we planned. And I say to myself, even on a Sunday morning like this, and I'm not trying to bash anybody, but it's okay if I bash you, it's okay with the truth. This is a simple thing. You know, we rejoice over the faithfulness of people. Just a simple act of, we're going to worship God together. Worship his faithfulness and his goodness. And there's people. And I don't know any of you here this morning. There's people who would say,
Yeah, church people, you just want the money. Who's taking care of the poor? What are you doing for the poor?
I don't know. What are you doing for the poor?
What about the widows and the orphans?
Well, I live with a couple of them.
What are you doing?
We are the church. But the point is, we miss what Jesus is doing. We can so easily miss, what is he doing here on a Sunday morning? You know, we're thinking about lunch, and okay, this guy's gone on a little long today. He's like, I wish Pete was preaching or something. And like, he hollers all the time, but this guy's dull and boring. It's like, I don't know where you're at, but we miss what Jesus is trying to say to us. And it can be in a song. Halle, halle. It's like, I don't know. I don't know what you're thinking. God, help us to not miss what Jesus is trying to say in 2026, this Easter, this Passion Week, this Palm Sunday, when we're singing the songs, Hosanna. We understand the salvation now. We understand, or we should, we're 2,000 years in. We should be the most rejoicing, wild bunch of people that lived on the planet. Because we know what Jesus did, and we know what he's going to do. And when the next time we come singing into Jerusalem, you better be in the number. I want to be in that number. You better be there. And it comes to those who follow Jesus. Okay, the crowd. I got two more. The crowd. Hosanna. They wanted a savior. They didn't know what salvation he was bringing. They missed it. Said he was a prophet, a good guy, an earthly king, a political savior. They're all wrong. They were excited because of the miracle of Lazarus. They remembered the bread, the fish. I wonder how much we are truly missing about Jesus and his life he wants for us. Amen? Now us. We must not miss the true message of Jesus. You can go to that next slide, by the way. It's all up there. What's the message for us? Save now. Save now. We have 2,000 years of history on our side, but have we learned anything? I pray the Holy Spirit speaks to us this morning, speaks to the city we live in, speaks to our government, speaks to hearts about who he is, that we would not miss the message of Christ. You know, it's even Cadbury, the chocolate company. And I forget, usually Lori's sitting here and she's my mind. She reminds me of everything because, you know, I got a great mind. It's just weak. But they changed it. They call it holiday treats or something. There's no longer Easter chocolate. It's some, and, you know, ask Lori. She'll tell you what they changed it to. It's like, what do you think Easter is? Where do you think it came from? We all want the holiday. Well, now it's a spring break, and it's a chicken, and it's an egg, and it's something else. I don't know. But come on. Where do you think this history of Canada, of us, of our nation, of us as Christians, where do you think it comes from? And we just throw it away. We walk away. It's like, God, help us. Wake us up. Stir the city. Stir the hearts of the people. He says, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Amen? That's the truth. When we sing Hosanna, we're not singing like, save us like a king, although that's coming. We're saying, save us because we need a savior. Paul called himself the chief of sinners. I put it on there. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus. There's no other way. There's only one way. There's one holy book. There's one Savior. There's one way to the Father. It's Jesus. And it doesn't matter the political. It doesn't matter the religious. It doesn't matter what the world out there thinks. That is the absolute truth. And you need to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior if you want to know the Father, if you want to spend eternity in heaven. It's as simple as that. And yet it's the most miraculous, greatest miracle of all for the Holy Spirit to touch a heart, to turn our hearts to Christ, to open up our minds and our spirits, to see Jesus for who he is, to repent and to turn and put our trust in him. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. That's the word of God speaking to all of us. If we confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts, there has to be an acknowledgement of Jesus as Lord. There has to be a confession. But there also has to be a believing in our hearts that he is who he said he was. He's not a prophet. He's that, but he's God. He's a savior. He came to deliver us. And we have to acknowledge him, and we have to put our trust and our faith in him. If you haven't done that this morning, I'm going to invite you to do it. I'm going to invite you to open your heart. John chapter 1, verse 12, he says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. I love that. I love it. And on the Palm Sunday, the original one, when they were singing and rejoicing, they never got it. I'm going to ask the band to come, please. They're going to close the service this morning with prayer. Could I just ask you to bow your heads for a moment, close your eyes. Let's just take a moment in the presence of God. I believe the Holy Spirit is here. He's speaking on a beautiful Sunday like this. And like our sign out front says, to experience new life. And if you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to know the salvation that Jesus came to offer us. I don't want to miss who Jesus is. I want to know him personally. I want to confess him as Lord of my life. My heart is being stirred right now by the power of the Holy Spirit, and I ask you to pray for me. And if that's you this morning, if you can say that, would you just lift up your hand and say, pray for me this morning. Let me see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. You can take it down. If there's others, just take a moment. Can I pray for you publicly? Those of you who lifted your hand, would you just stand and come, please? Come. Come right now. Let's do it. Public. Make it public. Thank you. Please come and join me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We want to pray with you. Yeah, come and stand with your aunt. Are you okay? We'll pray for you. This is a prayer for Jesus to be Lord of your life. Amen. Come. 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 It's a good day. It's a good day. Could we just, with our eyes closed and our heads bowed for a moment, would you pray this prayer with me? And I'm going to ask you at the front to just repeat this simple prayer with me. It's just a sign, public declaration, acknowledgement of who Jesus is. So just pray with me. Say this, Heavenly Father, I come before you this morning and I confess that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And I ask Jesus to be Lord of my life. Forgive me. Help me to forgive myself. And help me to make you Lord of my life. And I confess to you today that you are Lord. And I receive you into my heart. I believe in you. And I put my trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Father, I just pray for those who are standing here at the front, and if there's any in the audience, Lord, I pray that you would take that prayer, take your word, and let it bear fruit in their lives today. May they rejoice knowing that they are a child of God. Whoever receives him, he gives the power, he gives the ability, the strength to be the children of God. And I pray this morning that they would know that joy, that they would know your presence like never before. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd come and just seal this work, seal it in their hearts today, that they would know without a doubt they are saved, they love you. You are the one who said, Lord, if we confess and if we believe, we shall be saved. I pray you would write their names in the Lamb's Book of Life forever and for eternity. No one can remove it, Father. No one can pluck them from your hand. And I pray that. I pray, God, you would seal this work in Jesus' mighty name. And we thank you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can you just give a hand clap or say amen or something? Hallelujah. 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 Just stay here at the front for a moment. I know there was people who need prayer this morning, specifically came for prayer.